Love your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe and Mpakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
It's a 6:15 on weekend breakfast. And what do we start off with every Saturday? We talk fitness because, of course, despite all the things that are happening to us socially, politically, even economically, our health is also foremost, right? In on our minds, our health is foremost in our list of priorities. And helping us have that conversation is Derek Archer, who's a director at the FitPro Institute of Fitness Professionals. A recent study by a team at Columbia University's Irving Medical Center has found what they call the exact cocktail of exercise that one needs in order to enjoy the longevity benefits of exercise. And this morning we're going to interrogate the study and just find out what that exact ratio of exercise needed is in order to see tangible health benefits. Welcome to the program, Derek Archer, director at FitPro, the Institute of Fitness Professionals. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much for having me again on your show.
It's an absolute pleasure, Derek. Now, obviously, we are dodging the COVID-19 virus, or doing our best not to get infected. We're also, now that vaccination jabs have opened up for 35s and over, we've seen an influx, just over 1 million people just in the last few days getting vaccinated as well. So obviously, health and health is a key priority for many of us during this pandemic, despite everything else that's happening. But the idea that there is an exact cocktail, right, a step-by-step list or a listicle of things to do in order to see or to gain, to unlock longevity, is quite something for this generation, because we live by listicles. That's a large part of our media diet. You've read through this study. Is this feasible? Do you agree with it? Just break down what this purported cocktail looks like.
Okay, so the first thing is that it's very accurate. As it says, we are too sedentary. So sedentary meaning that we are very lazy to an extent. We're not active. We do not engage in activity that is going to promote health, basically. So our lifestyles, and like we said, including lockdown, where people have been forced inside, they've maybe not done exercise because they're terrified of going outside and getting infected, or maybe by restrictions, they're unable to go to gyms and so on.
Sure.
That's the first thing. The second thing in this study is that, look, besides the fact that it was done in most northern hemisphere, first world countries, in terms of actually working on a specific ratio, it might have worked in their studies, but I think the application to everyday life is extremely difficult. Yeah. It's particular giving, the author of that document said, to sit there and try to calculate that, everything would probably exceed the number of activity hours you need to do for the day. So what it did mention was that the old formula, well, the old thing where it said 30 minutes a day is enough to keep you to keep you healthy. Okay, and that number is still valid. The American College of Sports Medicine says that in order to help manage non-communicable diseases, so not talking about healthy people, just talking about people with non-communicable diseases, 30 minutes a day, whether it is done at once, and this is a low to moderate intensity, is sufficient to help manage a non-communicable disease. They could even split that into 75 minutes of high-intensity exercise. So when it comes to longevity, I think, to be fair, longevity can be a genetic issue. We can try our best to live as long as possible, and that is a good thing for using our exercise and healthy eating and healthy lifestyles to try and get there. It's also about quality of life. So we don't know how long we're going to live for, but if we are active and trying to promote our own health, at the end of the day, our quality of life would be much better. So that is on a physical, emotional, psychological scale, and a number of different components of our actual wellness.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of this formula, to try and get people to act, people that are sedentary, to be as active as they require here would be impossible. In fact, when someone saw the numbers that they're required to do, it would probably be off-putting.
Sure.
And where they make a big mistake, sorry, would you like to ask something?
No, go ahead,
Where they make a mistake, perhaps, is that they say you need to do exercise. And as soon as people hear that word exercise, they freak out.
They shut down.
Exactly. I think, oh, they look at, they visualize it, what they visualize and they hear that word exercise is perhaps someone running a marathon or some really well, someone with a really awesome physique in a gym. And for most people, that actually, that's not attainable for me. So it puts them off.
So
what talk about activity, it's a story.
So to that point, what's really interesting and what you've highlighted very well is the fact that, you know, some of the people contributors to the study also included people who are in behavioral medicine, right? Who are tackling exactly that, either ideas, mental blocks, behavioral or attitudinal stumbling blocks that might get in the way of people optimizing their health and exercising. But as you say, some of the findings are exactly that, that formal exercise, in fact, means little over the long term if you spend the rest of your day sitting. So fundamentally, formal exercise is necessary. It is needed. It's required. And as you said, that old advice of 30 minutes at least for managing non-communicable diseases still stays in place. But we ought to be moving much, much more and in ways that you enjoy. Now, you know, say it louder for the kid in the back of the class who feels as though, well, I can't... maybe I'm in KZN and movement is restricted. I'm not trying to go anywhere right now. That's the first thing. We'll write you in, you know, affected areas in Gauteng because of the unrest or because it's level 4 lockdown. All sorts of reasons. Oh, I'm schooling from home. Kids are at home. It's just impossible to move. Remind us again the ways in which human beings are able to utilize their body as optimally as possible on a daily basis.
Okay, so any activity that is going to enhance our well-being should be intent to it. And when I mean intent, that it's not just like, okay, we're moving to pick up the remote off from the table to go sit back on the couch. Movement of intent means to walk down the passage. You know, we have we've actually managed to get standing desks that we put on top of our normal desk. So at home, even if we're in lockdown, in the study you're standing, you're moving much more when you're standing to get comfortable.
Mm.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, like, say, right, I need to have, go and get water, and water, say, I need to have so many glasses of water today. Okay, great, that means I need to walk to the kitchen, maybe do an extra trek down the passage to fill up your glass of water. You know, go out into the garbage, make sure you do all your routine stuff, but do it with a little bit of intent, a little bit of extra oomph in your step, should we say. And that would be, and then walking on the garden, that would be a good thing as well. If you're able to, if you have that, if you're in an office block, maybe walk the internal, the road inside the office park, up and on the stairs if you have. The thing is to, you know, if we take exercise out of it, and even though it says 30 minutes of formal exercise in the American College of Sports, it's just 30 minutes of activity where your heart, where your perceived exertion is around. So when we talk about perceived exertion, if we gave it on a scale from 7 to 20, with 20 being absolutely almost dying and popping an eyeball, so looking at around about 10 to 12 in terms of that. So if you're walking, you can still hold a nice conversation, but you're actually moving. And if you're able to do that, even if it's broken into 3 sets of 10 minutes walking around, that is your active, that is your dedicated time. But in the rest of our daily activity, to get up and move, to maybe stand for a bit longer, do things like get your standing desk. There was a thing where we could sit on a ball, and so there's a little movement the whole time, keeping your body active, your core active, to sit on the ball. Unfortunately, that is something that needs to be integrated slowly into your day so that your body gets used to it, or adapts to keeping up, so you're very conscious of posture, that kind of thing. But ultimately, to change the mindset about it. Like I said, that as you mentioned here, that the behavioral element is massive. And our idea in all of our exercise prescription is to induce behavioral change.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be changing. I mean, I do believe that our old formal phys ed classes at school, where they used to give you a proper physical hiding, created a lot of mental blocks for people. And because that wasn't really constructed, the science wasn't there. No, now we can say, right, if you guys are going to do phys ed at school, for instance, do it in a way that promotes it as a lifelong activity. And Those are where the behavioral elements come in.
You know, and
we need to shut out the social media element too. Don't look at flipping Instagram and look at some of the grapes as you can think flip, that's not attainable.
I hear your chagrin and irritation behind that last statement. And we'll get to that. And I guess part of that folds into my next question, which is around exercise fads and crazes, right? You've mentioned the fact that at some point, so many people in offices were sitting on exercise balls or stability balls to, you know, work the core and blah, blah. And at any one point, one thing is like sort of trending or popping in the world of exercise fads and crazes. How do you advise the people or the professionals that you work with at FitPro on what to incorporate, what to leave out, but most importantly, what to tell their clients? Because ultimately, as you said, we want to find something that works for us. But then the next thing comes along 3 months later. Now, do I drop my Pilates and suddenly get into hot yoga?
No, so the most important thing is we need to, and this is what I tell the guys that I educate and the guys that I work with, my colleagues, we believe that we need to look at each person as an individual. So once we understand what their goals are, what their physical capabilities are, then we can look at the options available to them. And when some sort of, when there's a new type, a new exercise, modality, technique, craze, that kind of thing comes up, we can say to the client, look, this is a good form, because we break it down and have a look, is it sustainable? Is someone doing that stuff going to get bored out of their heads, firstly?
Sure.
Or maybe I should say, are they going to get hurt, firstly? Are they bored? Will they get bored quickly? Is it something that is sustainable for a long period of time? Is it something that they can do to boost their, you know, just boost their overall entertainment from exercise as well, you know, their enjoyment of it? So maybe we stick to traditional stuff or to proven stuff first and then say, right, on an extra day, why don't you go and do a hot yoga class or something like that? If that person is, if it's firstly not going to do any harm, and if it's just something that will help to keep that person motivated, let them try something new so that they don't get bored and stuck in a rut as well. But ultimately, we need to look and see what is the long, is it safe? Is it something that my client specifically will benefit from? And should, how are we going to add it in the overall dose of activity we're prescribing for this person?
Sure. And of course, sustainability is key, right? We don't want to start something that we ultimately can't even afford. We know that already the economic climate is not conducive to so many things. So, you know, ultimately, I think that formula, that just going back to the study that we're referencing in our conversation, going back to that study, the key thing here is fundamentally, you know, it's not a matter of a gym membership. It's not a matter of signing up somewhere. It's not a matter of always paying a professional to help you out. But it's something that is all within your purview. 3 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity or 12 minutes of light activity per hour. That's manageable.
It is absolutely manageable. And we've got to remember that your activities during the day are cumulative. Okay, so like I said to you earlier, if I decide of that 12 minutes, I'm going to take a quick walk around my office or up and down my passage, or if it's 3 minutes of hard walking or something, I don't know, if you're stuck indoors and you've got a really strong coffee table, maybe you can step up and down the coffee table. But it was obviously within reason, but it is cumulative, and those things during the day all add up. Our body needs that stimulus the whole time. Our circulatory system needs it, our heart, our respiratory system, our brain needs it. We need it from an emotional wellness perspective too. So it is doable. Yeah. And look, I do think the ratio, if we start looking at the math, you put that into Excel, and it can be quite freaky. It will freak people out. And like the author said, cheapers, that would be enough to, you know, it's a massive undertaking. But those numbers would freak people out. And at the end of the day, we've got to look at ourselves and say, why would you want to live longer? Why would we want to improve our quality of life? Do I feel healthy? We often get it with adults, guys that perhaps haven't exercised for 10 years in school and they've got a family and so on. And we say, what is your motivation for training? The guys say, oh, you know, I really don't enjoy it, but you know, my wife's pushing me to it. And say, well, do you have children? Yes, you do. Are you going to be around to see their 21st birthday? You know, you're giving your lifestyle a sedentary lifestyle.
Sure.
Are you going to be around to see the 21st? Are you going to walk your daughter down the aisle? That kind of thing. It's never guaranteed, but you want to give yourself the best possible chance. So, and also, honestly, you look at how people have, what people suffer from, those non-communicable diseases going on. To try and prevent that happening should be a huge motivation.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. I like the fact that you're so honed in or keyed into making sure to find the right way to motivate each and every one of your clients. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Derek. Always a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
All right.
Yeah, thank you so much. You take care.
We'll do. That's Derek Archer, Director at FitPro, Institute of Fitness Professionals. Well,